earth, and sky.
The era of thinking that forests are static or you can just leave them alone and they'll take care of themselves for a long period of time is just gone.
You're listening to Sally Collins, Associate Chief of the United States Forest Service, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast. Collins spoke to Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson, giving a modern overview of America's forests and explaining why these threatened forest ecosystems are so vitally important to all of us.
So if you were flying across the continental U.S., how would you see forests in terms of their distribution if you're just kind of getting a bird's eye view?
If you were to fly over the United States, you would really see a lot of forested land. And what's really unique about the United States is that we have about two-thirds of our original forested land base that we had from the original settlement times. We lost about a third of it in the 19th century, and you see that and would see it as you're flying across the Midwest because that's where most of it was converted to agricultural land. But the rest of the forest has pretty much stayed the same, even though there's been a lot of development and a lot of urban growth. And that's because some of the agricultural land has gone back into forests.
I had expected that the forest coverage would change so much from when people first came to America and began to settle it.
Yeah, well, we lost a third of it, for sure. But two-thirds is about the same. Except for an interesting thing that's just started to happen in the last 10 to 15 years, and that's the trend in terms of urban development, suburban development, ex-urban development, or whatever you want to call it, people getting second homes and moving into forested areas is converting a lot of forested land to parking lots, roads, and other developments. And I guess part of what our concern is there are ecosystem services that flow off forested landscapes. Many of these private owners, a third of our drinking water comes off of private forested lands. And as those get converted, you lose those services that really we get for free as Americans. When you think about it, forests are the source of drinking water. They're the source of recreation. They're the source of wildlife habitat. They sequester carbon and scrub the air clean. They do all these things, but just imagine where you actually pay for that. You might pay a little bit in taxes, but it certainly doesn't cost us what it costs to keep those forests, those private landowners, keeping that forest from being developed. I mean, there are a lot of incentives that would have a landowner want to convert their land. Primarily financial as they get older and look at transferring ownership. People really have to think about, can I afford to keep this land?
So do you think that these pressures are that much different than the pressures that we had 50 or 100 years ago? Or do you think that it's just been a gradual acceleration of these kinds of development and environmental issues converging together?
It's happening very fast, and I think a lot of it's because you've got more disposable income. People are turning to second homes. People are trying to escape cities. Real estate values are going up. The nice thing right now, I think if you were to poll people, the people that own that land are owning it for aesthetic reasons, hunting, recreation. They want to keep it preserved. But the question is, what will that next generation want? And will they be able to hold on to it? Will they be able to get enough income off of it to be able to sustain that?
So just to kind of take a step back and look more about what it actually is a forest and what does it mean for land to be forested, and how do you define a forest from, say, a ranch or open space?
For a layperson, it's land with a significant number of trees on it so that land actually has enough cover to provide the kind of forest ecosystem services that really would lend anybody to understand that that's a forest. Almost all private farmers have some forested land, But if it's a strip here, it's not really considered a forest. It's got to be of a certain size and of a certain composition of trees.
Talking more about public lands, is there a standard plan for managing public lands, and how does that differ from the way that people manage private lands?
For national forests, it's revised every 15 years, unless there's a need to revise it sooner. And given the number of issues facing forests in America today, like invasives and climate change and fire, we're finding that we really need to kind of refresh those plans much more often.
So are forest fires being directly connected to climate change now? Because I know there was some controversy with the science over that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of work that's being done on that to just examine the relationship between temperature and size of fires. But I think some of the work that's been done in California has been really, really solid. And some of our researchers that have been looking at that question have been showing that you can really correlate temperature to acres burned. And what we're seeing in, let me just give you an example. For me, as a manager of a forest in Oregon, had a lot of fires, sometimes in the Central Oregon area, 400 fires a year in this, 4 million acre Central Oregon area. We had a big fire was 5,000 acres when I was there. Really big fire was 5,000 acres. And now you hardly even blink if it's less than 25,000 acres. And it's not surprising to see fires that are 100, 200,000 acres. We have much bigger fires, and this is just in 10 years that we've seen this change. So something's going on, and when you're in some of these ecosystems, that climatic shift, you see that more quickly.
So when you're looking to draw up a management plan that goes every 15 years, but there's these rapid changes in climate and forests and invasives, how does that change the way that you as a manager look at forests?
It's such a good question. We've had to really revise the way we think about doing these plans because of that. We've just came out with a new process that identifies a much more dynamic process because our world is more dynamic. So it's more challenging because you're constantly having to refresh how you're looking at your forests out there.
That was Sally Collins, Associate Chief of the United States Forest Service, speaking with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson. Our thanks to the American Forest Foundation, leading the way in education and conservation. You can subscribe to this and other free science podcasts at our website. Just visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.